Turn with me again this morning to Acts chapter 27. Beginning in verse 22, let's hear the word of God. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as we open the word. Once again, Lord God, to be fed from it. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them, and to thank you for it. Amen. Paul's on his way to Rome. He, along with 275 other guys, are on this ship, against his advice, by the way. And now they're in the middle of a raging storm. And the storm is of such intensity that the seasoned crew are fearful. Guys who've been out there before are shaking in their shoes because of what's going on about them. Have you ever been in the middle of a trial yourself? And somebody just said to you, "Don't worry about it." How did you respond to that? I admit, I am guilty of using that phrase in a way of bringing encouragement. And people will say, "Well, yeah, well, that's easy for you to say. Don't worry about it. You're not the one whose hand is pinched in a vice. You're not the guy who's going to the refrigerator and finding nothing in there. You're not the guy who just, you know, nobody wants to get along with you. Everybody hates you. You're not the guy." But the counsel that is given is not rooted in a shallow sentimentality. It's not just think positive thoughts and it'll all go away kind of a thing. And furthermore, and important, this is an important point, no one is making light of your trial. Everybody gets to enjoy difficult situations in life. It's a beautiful thing. Makes you grow. When you happen to be the one enduring it at the moment, it's no fun. And you want people to sympathize with you, and we do. But understand, if I tell you, "Don't worry about it," I'm not making light of your situation. I'm not understanding. Paul's confronted with a situation where, realistically, people's lives could be lost. They're in a ship in the sea, and it's getting tossed every which way. People could die. They're afraid. What pain is it that they're going to have to endure? And he tries to encourage them, Paul does. He says, "Take heart. Have courage. Don't worry about it." Has Paul lost his mind? How could he give that kind of counsel to these guys? "Don't worry about it. Take heart. Be courageous." What, was Paul some kind of a Superman where nothing could harm him? You ever see Superman? Sure you have. Superman stands there and bullets bounce off his chest. But when the bad guy's gun empties and he throws the gun at Superman, Superman always ducks. Paul was not a Superman. Wasn't he in the same mess as everybody else was? You know, the fact is he was. And in his own humanity, Paul probably had some similar apprehensions about what was going on, the same as the other guys on the ship. Paul was not a masochist. Paul didn't have a death wish. But Paul had received God's word on the matter. God said to Paul, nobody's going to die. God said to Paul, you know what? These guys, they didn't pay attention to your counsel earlier. And this ship is going to be lost. But no lives are going to be lost here. Paul had a job assigned to him. He had to go to Rome. And that mission that he had been given by God would be carried out. Paul's life was not going to be lost at sea. You know, he wrote to the Philippian church. And granted, the context has to do with salvation. But he said, as a reminder to them, that he who had begun a good work in them would complete it. God has given you a work. God has given you a gift. God has given you something to do in this life. And if God has established something in you, God isn't just letting it go by the wayside. He will be faithful to complete it. And we can see the applicability of that scripture in hindsight on Paul's situation. Paul would not be lost at sea because he had a mission to complete. God also conveys a benefit to those who are aboard the ship because of Paul. Just because Paul's there, everybody else benefits. Do you guys realize that when you're here, we all benefit? On Sunday morning, when the temptation is to just lay in bed, which happens more and more for me, the reality is, if you're not here, you are missed. The reality is, if you're not here, the rest of us lose a benefit. Paul's shipmates received the benefit of their lives because Paul was on a ship with them. It's not unheard of in the scriptures that God blesses unbelievers for the sake of the elect. If we go back to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 22, we find out that all nations of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. And that was a blessing of God. That was the grace of God. Abraham was a mortal sinner just like you and me. But God chose Abraham for a work, a special work, and he said that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. If we go back to Genesis chapter 39 and we read an account of Joseph's life, we find out that Joseph was sold to a fellow named Potiphar. And the scriptures tell us that Potiphar's household was blessed because of Joseph. Potiphar certainly was not a child of God. He was not, you know, anything to write home to mom about. But he received blessing because of Joseph. Here in this passage that we're looking at right now, we see a shipload of people that are blessed because of Paul. The church exists for Jesus' sake. We are blessed because of Christ. Salvation belongs to God, we're told in the third Psalm. Are you saved? I mean, really, do you think about it? Are you saved? I remember Dr. Sproul telling a story one time. He was walking across the campus, and a kid ran up to him and said, "Dr. Sproul, are you saved?" And he freaked out. And the question is, saved from what? So are you saved? Well, I don't want to go to hell. There's an old lady said that one time. Lady had been in church for a lot of years. Said, "Are you saved?" She said, "I don't want to go to hell." What are we saved from? We are saved from God. We are saved from His judgment and His wrath. It's not that we're saved from the devil. It's not where we're saved from all that stuff. We are saved from what we rightly deserve in God. What grace. And how did we obtain such a lofty status? How is it that we became elect? How is it that we became the children of God? Did we earn it? We could give everything what we have to the poor. We could live our entire lives and never say an unkind word to or about anybody. We could be that guy who'd give the shirt off his back to you. The guy who is the helper, who you can call on, who's dependable. He's there anytime, anywhere, any place, you know, whatever. He's always available for you. We could be that guy. We might be the person that darkens the door of the church every time it's opened. We get a list of the services and man, we're there. But you know what? Not a single one of those things procures our salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And He graciously gives it to all who receive it by faith in the finished work of Christ alone. Jesus Christ did everything He did on behalf of the church. We're not saved because of anything we do. We're saved because of Christ. He has kept us and is keeping us from the wrath of the Father. So Paul continues to relate to the men on the ship that God is going to spare them. He again, in verse 25, encourages them. He says, take heart, guys. Have courage. And I say, why? And he says, because I believe God. Do you believe in God? You know what? Everybody does. Everybody believes in God. Say, no, sir, I know there's atheists out there. And I say, there is no such thing. Atheists do not believe in the Almighty, but atheists believe in a God. They worship him every day when they look in the mirror. Everybody believes in God. The devils believe in God. Most people will, by the grace of natural revelation, say that there must be a God. Something has to be responsible for this creation, for this universe, for all these things. There's just no way that all of this happened by chance. So there must be a God. So he did that much, but he doesn't really have any effect in my life beyond that. He did a great job creating the earth, you know. We'll do our thing about hugging the trees and making sure it stays all good and stuff. But he doesn't really affect me. See, believing in God is really not too much of a problem. Where the conflict arises is in the matter of believing God. Not believing in him, believing him. Far too often, Christians will look at their circumstances and they'll see nothing else. They hear the wolf at the door, but they will not hear the voice of God. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But we say, "I feel forsaken." Jesus said, "I am with you always." But we say, "But I feel alone." We are far too willing to give credence to the fickleness of our feelings than to rest in the truth of God's word. We remember the man in Mark 9 had demoniac son. And he loved his son and he desired his son to be freed from that possession. And he'd gone to the disciples of Jesus and asked them to pray for their son, to deliver his son, to deliver him. And nothing happened. He had a belief in God. He had enough belief in God to take his son to the disciples, but his belief in God was weak. Not non-existent, but it was weak. It was shallow. And the disciples, of course, did nothing to make that faith any stronger, to make that belief any stronger. And when he brought his son to Jesus, and Jesus told him, "You know, there are great possibilities for those who believe in God, for those who believe him." And the father, with all that was in him, said, "Lord, help my unbelief. I believe to a point, but I need you to help me." We can't do it all. We can't gin up this great faith. We can sit around maybe for some time and think positive thoughts. We can sit around and, you know, maybe I'll be real holy this week. Maybe I'll read my Bible every day this week. Maybe I will spend a whole 2.5 minutes in prayer this week. Oh, I'm feeling holy. I'm feeling religious. I'm feeling good. But it's nothing. So, Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to believe. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe you. Jesus, of course, delivered a man's son. and he chastened the disciples a little bit. You know, it's not a sin to acknowledge your unbelief. But it is a sin to continue in it. Acknowledging that sin is where you want to go, to confess that sin to Christ. Here's Paul assuring the men, giving them the word of God. But Paul was not immediately delivered from the raging sea. Paul standing there on a boat that's tossing to and fro, encouraging these guys to stick with it. God is going to deliver us. God is going to save us. God is going to keep us. But the boat's still rocking. This storm is going on for 2 weeks, man. You ever been in a storm that's lasted 2 weeks? I can't remember ever being in a storm that's lasted for 2 weeks. But this storm is still continuing on. And it says, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall. Obviously, there are some guys on that boat that didn't believe Paul. Paul was God's minister. Paul was preaching the truth. Paul was giving them God's word. And there were some who believed him, that trusted him, and then others that didn't think so much. Some of those guys decided, you know, the best thing for us to do is get on out of here. And they started to let the lifeboats down from the side. They're going to jump in the boats and try to take off. They said, well, what we're going to do is put a couple more anchors out. Now, the ship already had 4 anchors out there. They said, oh, we're just going to go put a couple of more out. But Paul wasn't deceived. Paul knew what they were doing. They were trying to hightail it. And Paul said to them, look, if these guys leave, they're not going to make it. If these guys ignore the word of God, their lives are lost. And so the soldiers went over and cut the ropes and set the lifeboats free. Now that really had to tick them off. I mean, really. They're looking at that means of escape. They're saying, oh, look. We can get out of here. You know, land can't be that far away. We can make it. And what are you doing? You cutting loose our only way out on the word of some preacher? But Paul didn't lie to them. God didn't lie to them. God's word was true. And in the end, it was as God said it would be. The ship was wrecked, but no lives were lost. It's important for us to remember that God remains faithful and true forever. Whatever the situation you're finding yourself in, and again, we all have those times. Our faith, our belief, our trust has to be in what God says. If I tell you don't worry about it, it's not because I'm making light of your situation. If I tell you don't worry about it, it's because God has it. God has the situation at hand. And you can be like the guy on the boat, and you say, all right, you know, I hear God's word. I hear nobody's lives are going to be lost, but this boat's still racking. We're still going back and forth. And there's a good chance we're going to split up. And life is going to be miserable for all of us. God says, your life's not going to be lost, man. Believe me. God is forever faithful. And he's forever true. And perhaps what we need to do is daily approach him. And say, Lord, help my unbelief. Because we're just weak people. God help us. Let's pray.